Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Altshuler, along with Dr. Anton Raimondi, on this first Friday of the month, the Hour of Prayer. Anton, did I connect you up okay?
Yeah, I'm here, Mike.
Oh, great, great. That always makes things easier when I'm not real technologically doing well, and Patrick keeps me in the line here, but we're ready for another day. So for you listeners, it's the People's Day of Prayer, the first Friday of the month, which is always a blessing. This year it's a little confusing because the first Saturday was last Saturday, and the first Friday is today. But we'll get started. I'll start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Dear Lord Jesus, we ask in your name that you send down your most Holy Spirit upon Anton, myself, and all the listeners and the airwaves here at the Innisfil Catholic Radio Network. Lord Jesus, in your name, Jesus, we bind and cast away Satan and any evil spirits about myself or Anton or the radio waves or any of our listeners, so that we may be free and clear and open to doing your perfect will and be open to your prompting. Lord, we pray for our listeners today that they'll be have the holy boldness if they wish to call from prayers for themselves or others, that they feel free to do that, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that there will be healing and signs of your infinite mercy and love. And we pray that Anton and myself will be open to your promptings and just be open vessels and empty of ourselves and any thoughts, so that they're only of you. In your name we pray, amen.
Father, amen.
Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So for some of our listeners, the first time you've listened, if you happen to be there, the phone number to call in, and we really welcome any intercessory prayers, any comments about what we're speaking about. Everything is Christ-centered in this Catholic radio network, which is the Innisfil Catholic Radio Network, which is such a blessing that we can really proclaim our faith and proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask for the intercession of our Blessed Mother Mary and all the angels and saints. The phone numbers to call in are 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. And Anton, I can get to it here. The reading, we thought for the gospel reading, we do Sunday's gospel reading. Do you want to read that? Usually I end up reading it, but you're such a great speaker, I thought. If you don't have it there, I have it right here.
Why don't you read it?
Okay.
I do have it, but I think it's also good that the way you read as well.
Yeah, I got you. Perfect, because you just did this yesterday. And what, for our listeners, with the scriptures, every time I read them, I'm sure Anton's the same time, we can read them a week later, a day later, a year later, and something else comes to our mind. And I think that's the way the Holy Spirit wants to guide us, that at some time we are ready for a certain segment of the scriptures at that time in our lives. And they're meant to help us certainly learn and grow about God and Jesus, but also about ourselves. As we're getting deeper, we have different things can do that. So I will start. Today is Sunday's reading, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Genesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we've worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For astonishment at the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him, and likewise James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, for listeners, this is what the Gospel reading for this Sunday, Mass, you'll be hearing. And certainly, Anton, for me, what got me was, I've told you before, I like to fly fish. And I kind of learned it, and after a number of years, I've learned some different things, and I usually fish used to like to fish a lot. I remember you said that the same thing. And so the place I fish up, we place in the Poconos, and I fish there. Try to do it when it's you can get out once a week. And there's probably 45 different fishing holes go from, and it's all for trout. And some days the water's clear, some days it's murky, some days it's high, some days it's low, some days the wind's blowing really hard, some days it's not, some days the sun's out, some days it's not, some days it's raining, some days it's snowing. But all the different variations in the times of the year, as fishermen, which Peter and Andrew and James and John were great fishermen, they know these waters because they did them. They had to know the waters. They fish them every probably day of their older lives as they're doing that. So for them, who are really good fishermen and probably tried all the different types of things in the world, they fished all night and didn't catch any fish. So for them, that's a little bit humbling. And then here comes Jesus, who after they've seen him talking to crowds and heard about the different things, he tells them, "Oh, just after fishing all night and not getting anything," and then listening to Jesus speak, he tells them, "Well, go out into the deep and drop your nets for some fish." And I think probably the first thing that came to Peter's mind was not, "Sure, I'll go right ahead." Probably he's like all of us, we think we know better, and we're like, "No, I don't think so. We really know about fishing. We didn't get anything." But what he said was, "But at your command, I will lower the nets." And when they did this, they caught a great number of fish that their nets are bearing. And to have, for people that are fishermen and know what they're doing and think they know everything, to be able to see a man or a god, not or a god, and a god, direct all these fish from this big lake, or they call it the Sea of Galilee or Lake of Genesaret, into the net has to be really amazing for them. And I think that's why they were so shocked, more than maybe people that saw it from the land that were listening Jesus speak, because that's such a miracle to control nature, to direct fish into the net and go from there. So I think it was kind of Peter was really shock, so I can really hit home to that. And then he says, "From now on, you'll be fishers of men." And hopefully some of the same traits that Peter and Andrew and James and John did to figure out what's the best way to catch the fish that day, where would the fish be, how high or low to put the nets in the water. It's going to help them in terms of seeking other brothers or sisters to talk about Christ and evangelize. And that's my part of the story, Anton, just a thought.
Oh, that was great commentary there. Wow. I'm very impressed. It's, especially, I also didn't know that you, or I didn't remember that you fly fish. So you definitely you know, have something with that experience, understanding what it's like to really get into the fish.
Right. And yeah. So for the listeners, whether it's fly fishing, when I fly fish, you want to try to have different types of flies, different type. They're basically tied out of thread, feathers, all kind of different things, but they're made to imitate what type of midges or larvae they're hatching from the bottom. Maybe in the wintertime, they're still in the bottom. Different mid parts of the year, they're moving from the bottom up to the top. In the summers, they'll be up to the top and have wings. But the key is knowing what are you going to put in there to imitate them, and for the different kinds of water, you have to do it. And I think that's why, as Christians, and for our listeners to listen, because we're certainly, this is a day of prayer, but our job is also to evangelize. So we have to be aware of our surroundings and the people around us, and to listen to them. Like if I just went fishing, or anybody fished, just threw in what they thought was going to work that day, never changed anything, didn't look at the surroundings, didn't do anything, we wouldn't probably do too well. I think it's the same time with evangelization. If we're not listening to the people, observing the people who we are around and their traits, then we have a difficult time presenting the, it's not bait, but in a way we would call it that, presenting Jesus, so they have a thirst to say, I want some of that. I want to taste some of this Jesus that you're talking about. And I think that's where the same thing with fishermen, you're presenting things that you believe from your observations what type of fish or what type of flies they would be, the fish would be eating that day, because they eat every day. The key is figure out what they're going to eat. So I think that's the challenging part. So
that's a great point, because I used to also fish back in the day. Mm-hmm. Out when I grew up in San Francisco. I used to fish underneath the Golden Gate Bridge, of all things. There was a fort called Fort Point. Mm. So that was the fort that Sir Francis Drake, sailed into the bay, San Francisco Bay. I used to fish there in the middle of the night with my brothers. And there was a pier there as well, down the shore, where we would catch the, you know, crab. And so we had a lot of fun. Also, we would fish up in the deltas. Mm. But so looking at this gospel, you know, it makes me think about, like, why did he choose fishermen? And of all things, both you and I love fishing. Mm-hmm. And one thing that crosses my mind is patience, right?
Yeah.
Because just like Peter had said here to Jesus, I don't know if it was frustration or a complaint, how he said to Jesus, you know, that they've been fishing all night, right? And if we look at it, he was, when they say he was standing, that Jesus was there with a crowd already at the Lake of Gennesaret, that lake is also known as the Sea of Galilee. Mm-hmm. So it's a sea, but it's also called a lake. It has different names. But one thing that was really key was that the fishermen, you know, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and Andrew wasn't named here, curiously, but that they finished fishing all night long, and they were washing their nets. In other words, they were done with their work. Mm-hmm. And then Jesus appears and gets into their boat. You know what I mean? Like, he inserts himself. Like, he imposes himself to a certain degree and goes into the boat. And it, of all boats, it belongs to the owner, Simon, because that's his company. You know, he's a businessman, and he has his crew members, like I just mentioned. And yet he tells Simon to go put out into the middle of the shore. And I discussed this yesterday with my program, and I invited people who listened yesterday to come today. So I hope any of you listeners from yesterday, if you're here, I'm going to add some new information too. I mean, that's why I wanted Mike Altshuler to give his commentary, and it was great. I just wanted to add this part, that when Jesus put out a short distance from the shore, while he was in the boat preaching to the crowd, it formed a natural amphitheater. You know how it was kind of like semi-parabolic? You know, just like if you've been in like a Greek type of amphitheater or outside, mm-hmm. where the voice projects so easily. Like you can like almost whisper, and the sound would skim across the water, go across to all parts of the curved amphitheater or the curved shore. And so people can hear this, and he sat down, it says, and he taught the crowds from the boat. And what's also striking is when he finished teaching, he said then to Simon, and remember, it's in front of everybody. So whatever he says there, it's like being projected out to the whole crowd. And he says, you know, to put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a catch. And the thing is, like you and I know, just went with fishing, that there's a certain time and place. Mm-hmm. And these professional fishermen know that, first of all, the time is wrong. It's the daytime. The way the way to catch the fish is at night. Like my brothers and I used to fish at literally 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning underneath the Golden Gate Bridge. It was really amazing. And so, you know, it was so fun, but it was just like so just idyllic just to be underneath the Golden Gate Bridge doing this. But then, so they tell him to go out in the daytime, and in the middle, they're into the deep, where these professional fishermen know that they're not supposed to go in the deep. The fish want to eat some food, and they're normally the green leafy, you know, seafood is closer to the shore, not in the deep. Simon is like thinking, this is like a failed mission to begin with. We're going to the wrong place. We're going in the wrong time. And then he does, you know, complain and doubt Jesus, and by saying, you know, Master, we worked all night and we caught nothing, but at your command, you know, I'll lower the nets. So that was, you know, one of the phases that he went through. He went through that phase where, you know, he was frustrated, didn't catch anything, and he was invited to trust, and then he had a positive response. He said, okay, I'll do it, you know. And then because of this positive response, God, which you call Jesus, rewarded him for his trust and obedience by giving him this miraculous catch, the catch that really changed his whole life. It was a catch, you know, that's a once in a lifetime. And again, what's also curious is that he didn't say to Jesus, I mean, I don't know if he was thought in his mind that, hey, I'm a professional fisherman and I'm a businessman having this business, and you're a carpenter. You know, like, what do you know about fishing? You know, and telling me to do this at the wrong time and the place. But he didn't say that. I just wondered what was in his head, you know?
Well, I'm sure the humanism, for our listeners, Danton and I were talking about saints. The saints were all just like we were. They weren't just lived in this holy time, and they never were, you know, they were all born with sin like us. So I'm sure he thought, hey, who's this guy telling me? I'm the guy, the fisherman. He's just the guy preaching or doing the word. So for him to say, okay, Master, we'll go ahead and do that, that must have been hard for Peter, because Peter seemed like a pretty strong individual to have somebody tell him what to do. Oops. So, sorry, I interrupted you on that. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
So, the thing also is just, I wanted to let the people know that Jesus came to Peter and his crew at the end of their shift. So, don't be surprised while you're working and you're ending your shift. Let's say you have to go to the office, or you're finish your work at home, or wherever you may be, that the Lord may impose himself to come to you to do something that is out of your comfort zone. If you do it, even though you may complain or you think you know better, that if you still obey our Lord and Savior, that he will reward you for trusting him and obeying him by giving you not only what you need, but everything else besides, right? That wasn't that his promise? That seek first the kingdom and all these other things shall be yours besides? Mm. For those who are listening to us now, those who are a little shy to call in, like maybe the Lord is prompting you right now. So why don't you go ahead and call in and make your request or open your heart and ask a question or ask for help. And that's what me and Mike are here for. We're here, thanks be to God, through Kathy McCarthy's station here, they're in his Sign Catholic Radio Network and WTMR, that they give us this opportunity. We're offering this for any of you listeners out there, whether you're driving, whether you're at home, whether you're in the office, to call in, to share your thoughts, your comments, a prayer request. Open your heart up, because the Lord is the Lord of surprises, and he wants to work miracles in your life, just like when this happened to Peter. Because when Peter was now confounded, he felt ashamed, and that's why he was, after the miraculous catch, he said to our Lord, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. We are all sinners, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he fell to his knees. He realized his shame, but at least he confessed it. Mm. You know what I mean? So this is, I just can't believe both of us are both fishermen. And here we are reading when the apostles were called and then they left everything. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. God works in mysterious ways, right? He knew ahead of time he's going to get us together with this and with that. But that's a very good point. The point is to believe. Peter still believed and did what Jesus did. And as Anton said, our listeners, some of you are really tired. You've been sick for a while, and your prayers seem to have not been answered. You're praying for your marriage, and it just doesn't seem to be getting better. You're praying for a broken relationship to heal. It hasn't gotten better. You have an illness, and it's just not getting better. You're tired. You're ready to just give up. You're at the end of, like Peter, at the end of the day. You're hanging the nets up, but this is your nets for trying. So I think the key is, this is a good thing in what Anton had said, for all of us, that when we feel we're at the end of the line, the end of the day, everything's hanging up, we still have room for Jesus to pray to him and to answer our prayers and to allow him to heal our broken hearts or answer our prayers and have that faith. Because if Peter did not have the faith in Jesus, there was a lot of people that wouldn't have eaten fish for the next couple of days. They had so many fish there. But more than that, with our faith, we can keep feeding our faith and as we're learning ourselves. Anton, we did have a prayer request call in. We got 5 minutes to go for the break. Erica Lowry, she prays that she wants a closer walk with the Lord. What a great prayer request.
Wow, that is a closer walk with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Erica, for calling in and leaving a prayer request. And how timely is your request? And I feel it so that it's heartfelt. I hope you're still listening as we're talking here and about your prayer request. But as a preamble or before getting into the prayer itself, just with this scripture here, you just see that the Lord can impose himself at a time and place where you're busy or you just want to relax. And if you allow him to get you out of your comfort zone, then he can reward you for trusting and obeying him to the point where these fishermen decided to leave their profession, their job, and to follow Jesus full time. Now, I'm not saying for you here, Erica, to leave your job or to leave your family or wherever your state of life is, but you have that heart of seeking first the kingdom of God. And so let us pray to our Lord Jesus, who declared that those words to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are our Master, our Lord, our King of kings, and our Savior. You are the fisherman of all fishermen, and here you captured the heart of Erica Lowry, who wants to have a closer walk with you, Lord. Please instill in her heart that fire of your love so she can walk like the apostles walked with you, with that love and obedience and trust in you hanging on your every word. May you light the fire in Erica's heart and mind and soul to serve you with her body, mind, and spirit, that her words, her thoughts, her actions will be always focused on you, so she may be able to live her life happily here and be with you happily ever after in heaven, where there is no tears, suffering, or pain. And we ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, for Erica. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anton, when you were saying the prayers, it reminded you whether we're walking closer to the Lord, even grabbing the Lord's tassel to be with him, even in the tough moments. And it reminded me right now, maybe we can pray for the intercession, certainly of Jesus, but also for the woman who was hemorrhaging and grabbed the cloak of Jesus, and he knew it, but with her faith, she grabbed that cloak, praying that he would heal her, and she indeed healed her. So think about yourself with that closer walk, Erica. You're grabbing the cloak of Jesus, the tassel of Jesus, and keeping close to him. And all of us, if we can keep that in mind, it will make our lives a lot easier. Because I know with myself, things are always a lot easier when I'm keeping Jesus in mind through my daily walk in life. How about you, Anton?
Yes, amen. Well, that's a great point. You know, women, there's women out there that we can also add to the prayer who are suffering from obstetrical or gynecological problems, like this woman who I would deem as having some bleeding problems that, you know, she went to doctor, spent so much money, and yet they couldn't help her. And she had the faith to go to the doctor of doctors, the divine physician, which is Jesus Christ. And she decided to touch not only the tassel, but it was a special tassel. It was, you know, just like on the inside of a coat, some coats have this lining where there's a rope or some sort of a cord where you can tighten it from the inside. And so this tassel was a special tassel, a red tassel on the inside of the coat that was known for miraculous healings. So that's why when Jesus was in amidst the crowd, he knew somebody went inside of his cloak to touch that miraculously red tassel. And that's why when the apostles were saying, well, what is this? You mean you're bumping into everybody here? Like, what do you mean somebody touched you? Well, somebody put her hand inside of his cloak. That was the issue. And that's why he knew something was different. She had the courage to go out of her comfort zone and express it in a miraculous, in a outlandish way, and touch that miraculous red cord.
Wow.
Then she was healed.
That's awesome.
Because of those actions. So for all you women out there who are suffering from any kind of disease, especially obstetrical, gynecological diseases, where you are, your doctor still can't find the cure, we ask our Lord Jesus Christ to be to help these women, just like he helped the woman who was hemorrhaging for all those years. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ, because you are the Lord and Savior. You are the healer of healers, and you are the miracle worker and the divine physician. Again, we ask this in your name, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thanks to that. And Anton, we're going to take a short break for your listeners, a short commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is Linda Purcell. I listen to In His Sign Catholic Radio every chance I get. Kathleen convicts me with the words of our Lord. Kathleen lives in his love, and for me, just the opportunity to listen to her is my road to Emmaus. My heart is burning for our Lord Jesus. I am set on fire each time I tune in to In His Sign Catholic Radio. Why don't you give it a try, too?
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back to our listeners. I'm Mike Altshuler along with Anton Raimondo. And it's the People's Day of Prayer, the first Friday of the month, which I'm blessed to be with Anton. And we are here strictly to pray, speak about the Lord, and allow the Lord's healing to work through us. And Kathleen McCarthy had continued this. It was started with Dom Letiri, and Kathleen's taken over the radio station and just done an awesome job. And she really was a key. She really started this People's Day of Prayer, and we're blessed to be able to continue it and be the vessels for Jesus, for you, the people's healing. Right, Anton?
Right. Amen.
Amen to that. Anton and I were talking. By the way, we have, I want to repeat the phone numbers again. I get so interested in talking about these different stories with Anton. I could go back and forth all day, and we hope we're helping our listeners to come closer to that relationship with the Lord and to believe that Jesus truly is a healer. But we have a good time going back and forth talking to the Lord. But the phone numbers for your listeners to call in, we really encourage you, is 610-527-2906. So 610-527-2906. And Anton and I were speaking briefly just for the show, and I was speaking to him about, for the last couple of years, certainly I've talked to your listeners before about at the time of the consecration where the priest says the words, "Allow your most Holy Spirit to descend upon these gifts and become the body and blood of Christ." I'll always be aware of Mary up there, right to the priest's right side as he's standing looking at the crowd, and St. Joseph right next to her. And she'll appear in different appearances as Mary does. But after receiving communion then, I always say a prayer, a message, and a prayer, say, "Jesus, I consumed you. You consume me. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening." I always say it's St. Michael's prayer before that, too, just to cleanse the air. And I'll receive these messages from different saints. I'm just aware of who the saints are, and they're short messages to me, but I think it's a reminder for me to have this opportunity on the radio to mention each of your listeners. It's the saints are there, and they really wish to be called on for their intercession for all of us. They have this grace, I believe, that they're really, I think they're pleased when we call on them and intercede to them. And they live lives just like ourselves. maybe different time periods and everything like that, but they were human beings born with sin, but through their faith in Jesus Christ, and they believed that they are now have the ability to intercede from heaven for each of us. And I was just writing down during the commercial break some of the different people the last week that I'd heard from, some different saints, got a message. St. Joan of Arc, St. Peter, St. Anne, St. Matthew, the Blessed Mother, St. Andrew. And a lot of times it's not for me the same consistent saint, but they're all speaking about bringing myself closer to Jesus and offering suggestions for me throughout that day. And I think that for each of us, they're there, and I think they're very pleased if we are open to them and to call them and speak to them, certainly just like our guardian angel. But I just wanted to share that with our listeners. And Anton, what are your thoughts?
Well, that's beautiful. I mean, it's a grace that you get these visions and or locutions, and that you're able to share that with people, because anytime the Lord gives these, it's really not necessarily just for us or the particular person or just for you.
Yes.
It's to share the fruits of what you're receiving. And so, you know, when you get to see these saints up there right after communion, I mean, that's, and especially as many times as you have, there's something extra special that God is giving to you so you can do good for others with that information or that those blessings.
Amen to that. And to have the opportunity, nobody planned this, but to have the privilege to be on this Catholic internet radio, the InterSign Catholic Network, just to speak to our listeners, but it's for each of you. So the discussions I'm saying are, as Anton said, they're not for me, just for me. They're for you listeners, too, to realize, to believe, and do this. And, you know, I was a little shocked, St. Joan of Arc. I mean, I've seen statues of her with a sword, but I did not know much about her life, so I started reading a little bit about her life and do that. But they really had this perseverance of, they gave their lives for Christ, and that's what each of us are born to do, is to grow in love in Christ, and we will be with the saints, God willing, one day in heaven. And we were born to be saints, and I wonder if... I wonder when we meet him up there, are we going to call him like St. Matthew, or am I just going to say Matthew since everybody's a saint in heaven? What do you think about that one? I never thought about it, but the thing is, I think we're going to have access to them. There's so many people that are in heaven, I'm sure, but you think, well, how are we going to have access to the Blessed Mother in heaven? There's so many people come up to her, or to Jesus, or to Peter, or St. Matthew, St. Andrew, or St. Christopher. But I think God just is God, and he can make it happen, and we won't have the weight of our bodies with us. But the key is we'll be speaking about Jesus and to praise God, and I think it's so important. It's why Anton's such a great one about Scripture, that we read Scripture so we can learn about the life of Jesus and of his different saints, because we will be with them forever in heaven. So why not get to know more about Jesus, know more about his mother, about the different saints? And it won't be a real, it won't be like the first time you meet somebody. You already know this person who we've had conversations with. And isn't it a lot nicer if you see somebody again you've spoken to before, had conversations with? And why can't God grant us that miracle to do that here on earth, right? With God, anything is
exactly
possible.
You know, just on a couple of things, like when you said you saw St. Joan of Arc, you know, appear there at Mass after you had communion.
Well, I didn't really see her. That's a locution where I'm aware this is who that is. So usually it's a Blessed Mother, St. Joseph. I just wanted to say that. But go ahead. Sorry.
Well, just knowing, you know, St. Joan of Arc's history and how, you know, she was burnt at the stake, mm-hmm. that she had this belief that she would survive that, you know, that she would not die. She had that faith, but, you know, God allowed her to die. You know, some other saints, of course, we know didn't die. Like, look at St. John the Apostle. Wasn't he, you know, if I remember right, they tried to burn him in oil, you know, but, you know, he didn't die, right? And then St. Blaise, you know, his feast day was just recently, February 3rd, you know, where we get the blessing of the throats. And if I remember right with him, that he would preach, and they didn't want him to talk anymore, so they bound and gagged him and tied him up, and they threw him in the lake. What happened is when they threw him in the lake, he didn't fall, you know, into the lake. He was hovering or levitating above the lake.
Oh, wow.
So he was hovering there, and he still continued to preach. He just wouldn't stop. And then he heard a voice, you know, he had his locution. I think it was from God versus another saint, that he said that it's time for you to come home. And that, and so he relent, you know, he acquiesced, he was submissive. And so they took his body and brought him to shore, and they killed him. I don't want to say how they killed him, but they killed him. So my point is, some of these great saints that, you know, they had so much faith, and they, for some saints, like St. John the Apostle, he was not to die by the being boiled in oil, whereas St. Joan of Arc thought she was going to survive that, and she didn't. She ended up dying. And, you know, later on, she was rectified, you know, she was, because people, you know, thought she was a heretic. But later on, they had a retrial, of course, and she was, you know, all those misappropriations to her name was corrected. In other words, you know, they had falsely accused her, and she, that's why she became later a saint. So, you know, so for some of us here, like, we may ask for prayers, like, you know, we may have cancer, or we may have some fatal disease, and we don't have much time to live, and we're desperately asking, you know, for a complete healing. I mean, like, look at, for me, with my severe lung issues, I don't know where I'm going to go. But at the same time, I know that as long as the Lord gives me breath, I'm going to be proclaiming his word. So I'm going to do that. Sure, I'd love a complete healing. I went to Lourdes last year, and, you know, and I didn't get a healing there, but for sure I felt the Lord's presence. And, you know, the Lord, in fact, the Our Lady of Lourdes, her feast day is coming up this Tuesday, February 11th. So people should, you know, have a special, they should do something special for Our Lady of Lourdes if you want to get healed. So she may want to heal you, you know, on that day.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's something else that we should ask Our Lady of Lourdes, because, you know, whether you can get a hold of the holy water. But what I would also recommend, though, is, you know, sometimes our prayers and our healings won't happen if we are in mortal sin. I mean, the Lord can do whatever he wants. But my point is, you have to give yourself the proper disposition, you know, the proper posture, so to speak, of your soul. That if we're pure of heart, we're in grace, we've gotten confession, then why wouldn't the Lord want to do something extra special? At least give some spiritual healing, if not full-fledged, miraculous physical healing, or emotional or psychological. So, I mean, these are things that we have to be cognizant of, because sometimes we can mope around and say, well, why didn't the Lord heal me? You know, I've been doing all these different things. Well, he didn't prevent Joan of Arc from dying on the cross. I mean, on being burnt at the stake, you know, but she became a saint. So maybe we're being called to being a saint while we suffer, because Christ suffered. We have to also accept that fact, that some of us may just really have to be like Christ and have redemptive suffering offered up, united with Jesus. When we unite our suffering with Jesus, then it's multiplied. It's like investing in him. Like, he's paying the debt of for the sins, for the past sins, the present, and the future. He's paying the debt. And if you offer your suffering, you're also contributing to paying the debt. And he's going to look and say, wow, you mean you want to help pay the debt as well? Yeah, and so it's like it's a divine economy, that we're going to get these dividends, which is blessings in heaven, and we'll actually get higher levels or stations or rank in heaven. With that said, Mike, could I just share a quick story from St. John Bosco, or do we have a call or
kind
of intentions?
That would be great. Sure.
Okay, well, because you had mentioned, like, when we get to heaven and we see different saints, do we have to call them saint, you know, say such and such, you know? Well, there's this story from the 40 Dreams of St. John Bosco, and the story is, one of the dreams is called The 14 Tables. So I'm reading from a book published by Tan, and it's page 114. And essentially, what it shows that there's three different levels there's these tables that that the boys that he was taking care of were sitting in. And the lowest set of tables were the boys ended up having food and drink that was like looked like rubbish that only like swine would eat. And you know, St. John Bosco in his dreams was trying to tell these boys like don't eat that rubbish, like put that away. And they said, well, this is the bread that we're supposed to eat because this is all we have. This is like what they deserved. And so that lowest set of tables actually symbolized those boys who were in mortal sin. And so St. John Bosco actually could see the faces and identify who those particular boys are in mortal sin were in these lowest levels.
Okay.
Whereas the people, the boys who were in the middle section, they were higher, it was higher at the tables. They had they looked happier. You know, the other boys looked very sad, and they had at least some bread to eat. They were handsome. They were radiant, and their tables had special linen, and they had a candelabra, you know, sparkling chinaware, and these gorgeous flowers, and they were eating these delicious food and delicacies. And there was a lot of these boys, and what these boys symbolized that they were repentant sinners. So they had sinned, but they went to confession, and they got to partake of this grand, you know, festive meal. Finally, at the highest level, the best tables, so this highest level, there weren't as many boys on these tables. However, you know, the way it was described here is that, you know, they were so radiant, they had so much joy. There was like glitter and gold and red garments, and their face was shining and brilliant, and they had the best of the best meal that anyone could have. And these boys were the boys who actually symbolized that they had retained their baptismal innocence. So in other words, that when their soul was as clean as when they were baptized. They kept it. So they kept the purity, the innocence. And believe it or not, you and I, Mike, and anybody else listening, of course, and any other Catholic believers, that we can restore that state of baptismal innocence when we get a plenary indulgence, you know? So when we get a plenary indulgence where we get to pay for all of our sins since, you know, the state of you know, when we were 6, 7, or 8, when we started to have the age of reason, that any sins from then on to current, if we understand the rules of the plenary indulgence, that we may be able to get that all those sins are wiped away and the punishment that is due to the sin. In other words, many people don't realize that when we die, if you have any venial sin, you don't go straight to heaven. You go to the purgatory, and you have to stay there for a certain time. It's called Ave Eternity. It's a certain time until you pay off your debt. Whereas if you do a plenary indulgence, you paid off the debt here while you're alive and still on earth.
Wow. See? Well, we'll have to talk about that.
So you can restore your baptismal innocence as an adult. You don't have to be a baby or, you know, complete RCIA to have that baptismal innocence. It can be at any moment of your life if you get that plenary indulgence or you get like an apostolic blessing.
Wow.
Like if somebody's sick and they're dying and they have, you know, the viaticum, the, you know, confession, communion, and then an apostolic blessing, then their soul is as like they were baptized, you know, baptismal innocence, and they will be at that highest level, those tables there that St. John Bosco envisioned.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's very fascinating hearing that. And while you're speaking, Anton, it reminded me of we have the best meal ever in receiving the Eucharist. And I think sometimes as Catholics, we're not present in the presence of Jesus in that moment. And today's, for Sunday's first reading, the thing it reminded me of it, when from the prophet Isaiah, and part of it says they cried to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All the earth is filled with glory." At the sound of the cry, the frame of the door shook and the house filled with smoke. But isn't that, for all of our listeners, if we go to fairly frequent confession, we're prepared for the Mass, we've listened to the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. During those words, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth is full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest." We say the same thing at the Mass as that first reading. So when you listeners are hearing the first reading this weekend, I believe we do that at every Mass. And as Anton was speaking about the highest level, the best meal, if we are thirsting for Jesus in that Eucharist, which the priest has just consecrated, we've seen that. We say the Our Father, and all of us are raising our eyes to heaven, to the Father in prayer. And then we're thirsting for Jesus. And then when we receive Jesus with a heart that's lifted up to heaven, realizing this is truly God, truly man, it's Jesus, we are getting the best meal ever, and we are getting the food from heaven right there. And each of us, Jesus has given us that blessing to do this. So I really encourage our listeners for frequent attending of Mass. But when you're at the Mass, really be present in the presence of what's happening, and have your soul thirst to receive Jesus in that Eucharist. And, you know, when I receive him, they go back to the pew and say the prayers, I'm a different person in that. And maybe for some reason these locutions happen then. I'm aware of it, but they don't happen to me when I'm just walking down the road or after I've had a pizza or something. This is truly Jesus that's there. And I think for all of our listeners, that is the best meal, the food from heaven. And we, as Catholics, have that opportunity to receive Jesus daily, or at the very least weekly. So I really encourage listeners, if you haven't been to Mass selfish you like, get there. It's the best food for your soul you could ever have. Huh? Right?
Amen. It's soul food, all right. It's the medicine for our soul, the medicine of immortality.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you cited this first reading also, what's very important, how it keys in, or it's similar to what Peter said when he was felt that shame, how he said, you know, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. Here in the first reading from Isaiah, actually, that's where it, you know, it's connected, because, you know, here the seraphim of, you know, excuse me, the, you know, in Isaiah it says, "Woe is me, I am doomed, for I am a man of unclean lips, living among the people of unclean lips." And then he says, "Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." So it's as if he's saying, you know, like, wait a second, I have venial sin, like, I'm doomed, like, my lips are unclean, and, you know, maybe he said some bad words or something, but what was interesting was the seraphim flew to him, and he was holding the ember, the flame, and he was holding it with some tongs from the altar, and he actually touched the mouth of the prophet. And then the seraphim said, "See, now that it has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is purged." And so what I wanted to add to what you were saying, or piggyback on what you're saying about communion, the communion is like God's heart set on fire.
Mm.
And he, just like the seraphim had took the ember, the flame, and put it, and took the tongs and put and touched it to the mouth of the prophet, here our priest takes the fire of God, his divine heart, right, the Eucharist, and he takes it and with his blessed and ordained hands, and he puts it on our lips, and then when that happens, that's the moment, you could say, where the venial sins that we've committed are removed, just like it is here, where you know the seraphim touched the lips of the prophet, and the seraphim said specifically, "See, now that this flame has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed, your sin is purged." So, if we have that intention of getting our of venial sins removed, we can get it removed at Mass at very different times, but it is sanctified, or it culminates when we receive communion. So in other words, when you come to Mass and you take the holy water and you bless yourself and then you genuflect and then get into the pew, if you have the intention, may the Lord forgive me of my venial sins. And then at the Confiteor, when we say, I confess to Almighty God and you, my brothers and sisters, you're asking to be forgiven of venial sins. And then when we say, the Our Father, forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive others, we're asking for our venial sins to be forgiven. And then when we say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed, that's another part. And then it finally culminates that the venial sin is removed officially, so to speak, when the Lord, the God, our God, comes in and humbles himself, looking like a piece of bread, but it's really his flesh, and it touches our lips, which is a kiss from God, if you think about it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And confession is like the hug or the embrace from God, that he literally loves us this much that he wants to kiss us and hug us physically by giving us these sacraments. And we can enjoy that as Catholic Christians. And this is the privilege that we have. And I hope all of us take advantage of these great sacraments that the Lord has provided for us.
Amen. And each of our listeners, this show today was meant for you, because I'm sure there's some listeners there who you just don't feel you're worthy. You feel like you feel like you're worthy to go to Mass. Get that thought out of your mind. Run there and be there, because that's just what the devil wants you to think, that you're not worthy, that you don't need to go to Mass, or that you're not worthy to go to Mass. You don't receive Jesus. You don't have the faith other people used to see have faith. But that's just what the devil wants and what Jesus wants to do. And I think today's program, it's very clear through Anton and myself, was come receive the Eucharist. Receive that food from heaven. You are loved. Jesus loves you. He wishes to heal you. It's the greatest healer in the world. And Anton, we only have 30 seconds to go, so I'll have you do the ending prayer. How's that sound?
Sounds good. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your Holy Eucharist that you gave us, and we ask you, especially on this first Friday, to give us the grace to be able to thank you for the Good Friday that you gave us back when you suffered, died for us, and paying for our sins. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise you, and we ask healing for any of our listeners today, and God bless you all. Amen.
Amen. We'll speak to you next month, the first Friday of the month. God bless you all. Amen.